You know that Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If ye then be what? Risen with whom? When he arose, we did what? Arose with him. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. You know, in Ephesians chapter 4, when Christ ascended, we ascended with him. Look at verse 8. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led what?
Captivity.
What?
Captivity.
We who had been taken captive by Satan, he led us, the captive ones, he led captivity. What? That's part of the meaning of that tremendous verse 8. When he ascended, we ascended with him because he led captivity captive in the ascension. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24, for Christ is not what? Entered into the holy place by the hammer of the figurative, but he is entered into what?
Heaven
itself now to appear in the presence of whom?
God
for us. Isn't that beautiful? You see, that one in Ephesians 2 a little while ago, seated in the where? Heavenlies. When Christ was seated, we ascended with him. When he was seated, the word says we were seated with him. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, when Christ returns, we are guaranteed to return with him in all his glory after the gathering together. 4:14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep by or by means of or through Jesus will God bring what? With him. While I'm here on verse 14, it will come up later in the text of the teaching tonight. But the word in is entirely in error. If it was translated in, it would have to be the Greek word en, E-N. It is not. It is the Greek word D-I-A, dia, meaning by means of or through. Later on, I'll explain to you why this has to be so important, because this is the only place in the Bible it has that beautiful error. Back to Corinthians chapter 5. Once more, let me reiterate 14 before we get into 15. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus make the distinction and the final judgment that one died for all. Christ died for all, therefore all died in him. Then verse 15, class, is simply an exhortation for believers in their walk in life to manifest their resurrection position in him. Let's read it. And he died for all, that they which live should no longer, not henceforth, no longer henceforth you understand it, it means no longer. That they which live should no longer live unto what? What a clarion call to Christians today. Rings a bell loud and long, doesn't it? That he died for all, that they which live should no longer live unto themselves, but unto him who died for them and what? Rose. Read something. You see, wherefore we, seeing that we died and arose in him, our gathering together with him and our coming in power and glory upon the earth with him is assured because of his resurrection. This is why we now live on resurrection ground. Even though the word says that in the work of what Christ accomplished for us when God raised him from the dead, we suffered with him, we arose with him, we ascended with him, we're seated with him, he's coming back and we're coming back with him, but we're still in the here and now, some of us. And in this here and now, we do no longer live unto ourselves, but unto him who died for us. That's why we're living on resurrection ground. Verse 16, wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Parentheses, after the flesh. This word we, the pronoun we, is carried over here in verse 16. Wherefore we, henceforth, no longer. Wherefore we. It's a very emphatically emphatic pronoun. Wherefore we no longer know man, any man, after the what? In other words, from now on, whatever time this was, when all this is done, from now on, from here on out, no man after the flesh. We know no man of the prophets of old who gave to us the word and the revelation in the word. We know no one of those men of old, including the final prophet, John the Baptist, after the flesh. Whatever they did, whatever they said, whatever was done, has no efficacy for the body of the born again believers after the day of Pentecost. That's why it says, wherefore we no longer know man, any man, after the flesh. Yea, though we have what? Known Christ after the flesh, yet now, no longer, henceforth, from now on out, no longer, we do not know him after the what? That's right. No man after the flesh, and not even the man who is the Son of God, Jesus Christ, is to be known after the flesh. We know him no more after the flesh. Why? With 17 question marks behind it. Boy, and yet that's just about all anybody knows today. You want to talk to people, and the first things Christians want to do is take you back to Jesus Christ, the Gospels, the Sermon on the Mount, all the rest of the stuff. Everything He did in the flesh, they bring us back to. The Word says, and I didn't write the book. We know that, don't we, Ted? That we are not, the love of Christ constrains us, that we are not to know Christ after the flesh. Oh boy, people, somebody's going to have to see this someday and believe it. It's God's Word. That's that Word that He magnified above all His name. You see, the name of Jesus is always associated with His flesh. His flesh days. You and I are not as born-again believers in Jesus.